we have more recently invited a ministry called Unstuck to serve as a catalyst in our efforts to do a thorough assessment of our ministry. We do not seek change for change's sake, but change as needed for the glory of God and the spread of the gospel here and abroad. So at this time, Nick Brado is going to come and elaborate on what that process looks like.
Thanks, Brad. Well, so as Brad said, throughout the years, it's been common for our church leadership to periodically set aside time to get away and just evaluate how things are going, to prayerfully seek God's direction for the future, and to set out some plans and goals for the next few years. One factor that made that process a little bit different this time around this year is that we had a very different team of people who were involved in that process. We know that God has called the elder team to lead the church, and yet we also know that we do not know everything. We need help, and we need to, and we want to, hear from other voices as we lead the church. And so, along with our elder team, Brad, Doug, Ryan, Eric, and myself, we invited six others to join us initially in this process. We invited Nat Porter, right? He's an elder candidate. Matt Peebles, who has long served in Celebrate Recovery, Molly Lineback, an elder's wife, Aaron Clausen, our women's ministry leader, Ben Clausen, one of our deacons, and Cal Robertson, who is one of our junior high leaders. And so together, the 11 of us met for what ended up being three very long days. And together, we talked and we dreamt and we prayed together about where God might take Neighborhood Church in the future. And just as I'm sure you do, we want Neighborhood Church to be a thriving, vibrant, healthy church. We want our church to be a place where people come and experience a deep connection with God and experience a deep connection with other believers. We want this to be a place where people come and find blessing and health and joy and rest and freedom and growth. But we also want to be a people who understand that God blesses us. Not just for our own benefit, but so that we can go out and bless other people. So we want to be a people as well who take all these blessings that God has poured into our lives and who then go and share them by interacting and impacting our community and the world for the glory of God and with the hope of the gospel. And so in our time together, we started by asking just a lot of questions. So we started by asking questions about Neighborhood Church, and we discussed how God has worked in and through Neighborhood Church over the years. We asked ourselves, what were the high points in our church history, and what were the low points in our church history? We reminded ourselves of the specific calling that God has given to Neighborhood Church, and we considered all the unique ways that God has formed and gifted our church family. In addition to asking questions about our church, we asked a lot of questions about our community. We looked at a lot of reports that just detail the demographics of the community that are around us. And we discussed, you know, who's in our community? And of those people, who is Neighborhood Church best positioned to reach? And then of those people, you know, what do they value? How do they think? How do they spend their time? What's important to them? How do they feel about church? And if they were to come to a church, what would they be looking for when they came? And then perhaps most importantly, we also opened up our Bibles and asked a lot of questions there. You know, we've asked these questions before, but we ask them again. What does God desire for his church? Why did he establish the church? What are the biblical principles that should shape our decision-making process? And what are some of the core foundational values that we need to make sure we never walk away from? So we asked a lot of questions. We talked a lot. And at the end of those 3 days, we were pretty exhausted. We also actually didn't get as far as we'd hoped. 3 days was not enough. The discussions continued in various ways for weeks after that. But in the end, we agreed that we could say that we believe God for the glory of his name and for the joy of his people is calling Neighborhood Church over the next 3 to 5 years to focus on the following five endeavors. So first, we believe that God is calling us to spend some time evaluating and rethinking our Sunday morning worship experience so that it is as engaging and welcoming as possible, right? The Sunday morning time, which you are experiencing right now, this is a key part of the Christian life. It's crucial, a critical part of the life of every believer. And so we want to make sure that what we're doing here on Sunday mornings is as welcoming as it could be for anybody new who might walk through those doors. We also want to make sure that it is as engaging and meaningful as it can be for those who are already here, right? We want our church to be a place where people come and experience and meet with the living God, believing that he is still active in our world today. We also know that as we look to the future, we must always be trying to reach the next generation. And so that's why, as we go through this process of evaluating what's going on in our worship services, we're intent on creating an engaging and welcoming Sunday morning worship experience that results in at least 100 new young families becoming regular attenders of our church over the next 5 years. So we want you to pray with us towards that end. Be praying for 100 new young families to come into our church over the next few years. And as we pray and strategize towards that end, we're evaluating just about everything that we do on Sunday mornings. And in a few minutes, Nat's going to talk about a task force that is focusing on that word engaging. And then after that, Doug will talk about a task force we have that's focusing on that word welcoming. Second key area that we believe God is calling us to focus on is children's ministry. We intend to invest heavily in our children's ministry over the next few years. If you look at what's happening in our culture, you will often hear about young people who are growing up in the church and to then, as they grow older, walk away from the church. We do not want that to happen to the children who grow up in neighborhood church. So we want to do all that we can to instill in our children and our youth a love for Jesus, a delight in his word, and a deep faith in the gospel. Right? As Ryan prayed earlier, we want our children to grow up knowing and embracing the truths that are in Scripture so that they grow up to be lifelong followers of Christ who in turn go and make other disciples of Christ. And so that's why we're planning. I'm working on a plan to disciple the next generation by creating a vibrant children's ministry that involves at least 500 children in our community regularly participating in at least one of our children's ministry. So be praying towards that end. And in a few minutes, Ryan will come and talk about a task force that's strategizing in that area. Third, we want to pour energy into strategic discipleship of not only the children in our church, but also adults in our church. That's central to the Great Commission, right? Go and make disciples. And in so many ways, the church exists to grow God's people in maturity and holiness and Christ-likeness. And so that's why we are continually striving to be as effective as we can about intentionally moving the people of neighborhood church towards Christ-likeness. We want to see every single person in neighborhood church intentionally following a path that will deepen their relationship with Christ, that will lead to them walking more closely with the Holy Spirit, and that will be helping them progress in Christian maturity and godliness. You've seen in the last year or so, a couple of years, Neighborhood Church put a renewed emphasis on on women's ministry, where it's been happening there. We want to see similar things happening in other areas of our church, like men's ministry. And so Eric's going to talk in a few minutes about some things that are happening in men's ministry, which is all related to moving all of us towards Christ-likeness. Fourth, we are determined to find ways to reach our community with the gospel. Right? And so we want to mobilize our church to go out with the gospel. As you know, the world is changing, right? You look out there and you see our culture is changing. Christians are no longer seen as a force for good. Our values, our beliefs, what we believe in, they are no longer accepted by society. In fact, they're being rejected as bad. And so when this happens, we as believers have to be really careful. Because it's easy, as we see the culture moving away from us, to just want to retreat from the world. And so many Christians, many churches, we're just kind of stepping back from the world. It's almost as though we hope that if we just keep quiet, keep our head down, don't let anybody know we're Christians, then maybe we'll make it through life safely, unscathed, and everybody will leave us alone. But that's not, right? That's not how we're called to live. We're not to be part of the world, but we are called to live in the world. We're called to engage the world, to be loving and to be wise about how we engage the world, but we're supposed to be interacting with our community in loving ways as we share the love of Christ and as we share the gospel of Christ. Because as you know, Christ, he is the only true hope for the world, and so we cannot keep quiet. And so that's why we want to mobilize our church family to be involved in off-campus outreach that leads to 1,000 young families in our community being loved by our church. We want to reach 1,000 families in our community with the love of Christ. So we want you to be praying with us. It's a lot of families. We believe God can enable us to do it. Be praying about how we can reach 1,000 families in our community with Christ's love. Be dreaming about how that can be possible and how you might be a part of helping to make that happen. Fifth, we want to renew our focus on global missions, which kind of lost steam during COVID. Again, this is going to require us to fight our natural tendency to just turn inward and focus on our own people, right? Jesus told his followers, you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? That means we need to think both locally and globally. It's a both and situation. We cannot forget the fact that there are still thousands of unreached people groups in this world. There are still 2 billion people who have not heard the gospel in a way that makes sense to them. We're going through the book of Acts. You're going to see as we go through Acts that Acts is really a story of God impressing upon his people that their vision for the church was too small. He keeps saying, your vision's too small. Think bigger. Think broader. Think about more people. God wants the gospel to go out to the world. He wants us to be a part of it. That's why we want to make sure that we as a church are sharing in the completion of that missionary task that God has called us to by equipping every single member of Neighborhood Church to be actively involved in one way or another in cross-cultural outreach. So those are the five things that we're going to be focusing on over the next few years. Last week, Ryan reminded us from the book of Acts, from Acts 1:8, right? You can see it up there. When Jesus told his followers that they were to go out into the world and be his witnesses, he said, but first you need to make sure you have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the one who empowers us, who equips us. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can accomplish anything of any value. It is biblical. It is wise to plan and strategize. It's a biblical principle. But we need to remember that ultimately it is not a strategy that's going to ensure that our church is healthy and grows and succeeds. It's God, right? It is God working in us. We do not want someday to look back and say, wow, Neighborhood Church had a great strategy and a great plan, and that's why something great happened there. Instead, we want to always look back and remember the reason why Neighborhood Church grew and prospered and thrived was because God was at work in their midst. And so as we think about these five areas, we need to make sure that we are people of prayer who are continually looking to God to strengthen us, empower us. We want to be people who are depending on God, seeking his gifts, relying on his Holy Spirit to grow and strengthen our church so that we can be blessed and so that we can be a blessing. Now, as we've met and talked over the last several months about these five areas, the more we talk about it, the more we talk about each point, the more we realize really all that's involved in fulfilling each of these. There is a lot to do. And we're not going to be able to make progress in all five of these areas at the same pace. What's more, every one of these vision points could be broken down further into various components that require specific attention. And so for the next few months, we've decided we're going to focus on four specific initiatives within the first 3 points. Okay, so take the first 3 points. Those get broken down into various components, and we're going to focus on four initiatives within the first 3 points. And so for each of these four initiatives, we have created an additional task force that involves even more people. You're going to hear us talk about points 4 and 5, local outreach and global missions, in the months to come. But for the next few months, we're going to focus on the first 3 vision points. And so first, Nat's going to come and talk about, as I said, about us helping us see, about a task force that's helping us to get our services as engaging as possible. That's part of Vision Point 1. Then Doug is going to talk about a task force working on how to make sure our services are as welcoming as possible, also part of Vision Point 1. Eric's going to talk about a team that's focusing on men's discipleship, which is part of Vision Point 3. And then Ryan will talk about a team that's focusing on children's ministry, part of Vision Point 2. Got all that? First, Nat.
Thanks, Nick. So, yeah, we're really excited about what God wants to do Sunday morning with his people gathered and how people are going to be brought into that. And so I've been part of a team that's been tasked with looking at how do we design, create, ask for God's help in developing an engaging Sunday morning service, a worship experience that's going to result in 100 new young families coming in and becoming part of our worshiping community. And so that team has included Paige Absher and Pastor Nick and Brad Manley and Katie Myers and Jeremy Pagan, myself, and Janae Robertson. So we've been getting together for weeks and kind of creating some space to ask some questions about what God might want to do on Sunday mornings. And so that's really the first question we're asking is, God, what is your intention? When we gather on Sunday mornings together as a people, what is it that would give you pleasure? And what do you want to accomplish for your people and for your glory as we do that? And so we're asking that question. And so then with that, we're asking, okay, well, we've got an hour and 15 minutes together, maybe an hour and a half if you add together time before service and whatnot. How do we allocate our time? What things do we include in that hour and a half that we have together that's going to be pleasing to God and that's going to encourage people and that's going to facilitate authentic, passionate worship for the living God? So we're asking, okay, what does it look like to do that? Then secondly, what opportunities do we have for changing what we do and how we do them on Sunday morning in a way that would connect with a new, younger generation of families? And so we're looking at, you know, what does it look like for the younger generation to come in and be enfolded in, drawn into a community worship experience with God's people. So that's part of what we're asking. And then connected with that, we're also asking, okay, so what opportunities do we have to create an environment where that would be facilitated? An environment where people come into a place where they are encouraged to be aware of the presence of God and are encouraged to be aware of the community of God's people and together would worship him. And so we're also asking questions about, okay, how can we create an environment that facilitates that in terms of seating, just how we do seating and lighting and decor. And, you know, we want to just look at God, what opportunities would you give us to allow us to create a space where people come and have an encounter with God and worship together with God's people? So that's what we've been doing as a team, and we're asking those questions and coming up with some ideas, and ultimately, this is what we hope will be the outcome of that. We hope that we'll have an engaging Sunday morning worship experience that elevates biblically grounded, gospel-centered, God-exalting realities. Utilizing culturally relevant approaches and expressions that enfold the people into a community worship experience, which inspires them to treasure and trust and exult in God together. That's what we want to see. 100 new families coming and joining us in that as an outcome of what we're going to endeavor to do together. So let me just share one verse and then I'll be done. This is Psalm 67, 1-3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way, O God, may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And so I just want to invite you to be praying with us. God, show us the way forward. God, give us the power and the discernment and the courage to press forward in this vision that we might see a number of families joining us here for Sunday morning worship. So with that, Doug is going to come and he's going to talk to us for a minute about how we welcome these families in. Right, Doug?
Thanks, Nat. So I was just reminded that I'm part of a task force. We call ourselves the Welcoming and Enfolding Team. So team members, think of yourself as the Welcoming and Enfolding Task Force. Who's on that team is Ryan Wildauer. We have Aaron Clausen. We have Michael Bennett. We have Cal Robertson. And then we have some new folks. We have Mark Burwell, who's been with us for less than a year, and Alicia Logan, that's been here a little more than a year. So we're getting a real fresh perspective on what does it look like to welcome and then ultimately enfold people. And our task is to look at them from where they come from a parking lot and how they navigate through this campus that's not so easy to navigate through. So we said, what we want to do is we want to make it a comfortable introduction to neighborhood church and at the same time pique their interest in, like, Awana just started and we see you have two children. Let us tell you a little bit about that, or would you like a brochure on it? So we're really enthused about thinking through what are some of the obstacles to making people comfortable and what's not necessary to pique their interest. For instance, we've gone through the bulletin and we said for a new family, some of this is not necessary, especially if they're unchurched or de-churched. And if you want to know a definition of de-church, you can talk to me about that. I've kind of learned a little more as we've gone through this process. So that 100 families are really the unchurched and de-churched that we're talking about. And we have, as a task force, have already begun praying for those 100 folks. In fact, I've been able to see some results of that prayer over the last couple of months. And we want you to be praying for that as well. So help us welcome, help us enfold. So that's going to be to God's glory and for our great joy.
All right. Good morning. It's my turn. All right. For those who don't know, my name's Eric. I want to share this morning about the men's ministry team. We've got a good group of guys that are excited and passionate about men's ministry in the church. The team includes myself, Matt Peebles, Ben Clausen, Jess Gregory, Ray Detmer, who's on a beach somewhere in Hawaii right now, and Steve Kramer. And we've been meeting for the past month or so, talking about men's ministry, praying and seeking God to know what his heart is for men's ministry here at Neighborhood. We as an elder team have recognized for a long time that there's been a hole in the ministries of the church. We have a vibrant women's ministry. Erin has recently taken charge of that. She's doing an awesome job. There's a lot going on for women. And there are many ministries that are impacting men today. We've got our men's groups, small groups, all kinds of ways that guys can engage. But we haven't had a team that has been focused on reaching out to men in general in the church. Some of us just aren't as social and engaged. And so having a men's ministry team that's seeking to reach out to all the men in the church, from recent high school graduates all the way up to great grandpas and so forth, we want to impact the men in this church. And, being a man today is a tough endeavor. It may be one of the toughest times for men in this world. And so we need each other. We need one another. We need a band of brothers where we can come alongside each other to help each other, to support each other, to encourage and build up and be available for one another. And, it's just true about us as men is that we just tend to want to go it alone. You know, we can't stop and ask for directions. We don't like to ask for help. And so we just don't naturally build relationships. But Christ has called us as Christian men to be a part of a body and to be a part of a group of men. And so we want to see that grow and flourish in the church. And one of the exciting things that's coming up that we're excited about as a men's ministry team is a men's retreat that's coming up in November. I don't have all the details right now. I'm not even sure I was supposed to share that yet. But I want to encourage you, if you are a man or you are a wife or you are a mother, I want you to encourage those men in your life to take this seriously, not just let it go by and forget about it, but this is an opportunity for God to do something mighty in this church among the men. And so I encourage you to think seriously about coming to the men's retreat and encourage the guys around you to sign up and to go to the men's retreat. It's going to be incredible. We have a guy coming in from the East Coast who's going to come and speak for us. And so we're excited about that and hope you will be too. What am I leaving out? I think that's it. So anyway, be in prayer for us. Be in prayer for the men of the church and the men's ministry. So thank you. All right, you're up.
For reals this time?
Yes.
Great. Hey, I had the privilege of assembling together with some of our children's church workers. And we have had a team that met, and we started looking at this second vision point about a vibrant children's ministry that was reaching 500 people regularly in our church ministries. And we began to realize, like, vibrant's a really cool word. Like, don't you want to be vibrant? Like, that's really cool. But what do we mean by vibrant, you know? So we began to try to define some of our terms as a group. And for us, what we want our vibrant children's ministry to be is teachers who are joyfully discipling children who become eagerly engaged in growing their relationship with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. What does it mean that they are discipled? It means that they have an age-appropriate understanding of God, of what Jesus has done to restore us to a loving relationship with Him, and of our identity in God's eyes, resulting in deep commitment to joyfully love God and serve others. So that's what we're aiming for. It's big. It's something we're asking. Hey, is that what our curriculum is doing? Is that what our programs are aimed at? Is that what our teachers have a heart for? That's where we're headed in the next 3 to 5 years. That's where we're headed immediately as well. And so you'll see that we've done some things, right? We're already starting to implement goals that help us reach those 500 people in regular ministry. For instance, you notice we added a level to Children's Church. We don't call it Children's Church. We call it Kids Connect, right? It's for 3rd to 5th graders. We find that people, when they're coming to neighborhood church for the first time and they've got little kids, their little kids are doing this while I'm talking and Brad's talking, and they can have a hard time, and that makes the parents have a hard time to listen. And so we said, hey, if that's a barrier, I mean, if you want your kids to come and sit in service with us, that's great. If that's hard for them and hard for you, we want to provide something, right? So we've been doing that. We recognize that some of our classrooms, our Sunday school classrooms, were just a little bit small to have a dynamic conversation. So we combined some of those together to get sort of a critical mass of energy in those classrooms. Now, if we get 100 families into neighborhood church and we get 500 kids involved in regular ministry, it won't be long until we're dividing those classrooms up again, right? And when we set those goals for 100 and 1,000 and 500, we basically as a team said, we don't want to set goals that would say, oh, that was really cool. That was a really good effort and really good vision that they had and a strategy. We want at the end of the 3 to 5 years to look back and to celebrate a success with a cake and a pie and the whole thing and say, God showed up. God did that. And He used us, and He was present among us, and we worked alongside of Him, but it was for sure God. And that's what we want to be about. So we're excited with what's going on in our children's ministries and expect to see energy there. I don't know much about gardening, but I have learned a little bit that the more attention I give to what I'm doing in my garden, the more it thrives and becomes vibrant. When I weed it, when I fertilize it, when I water it, when I give it that time and attention, it grows. And so that's what we want to do with our children's ministry. Give it that. So I'm going to start by now addressing some concerns, right? So you guys all showed up today, and you show up pretty regularly. And the reality of that probably means you like something that's going on here. And so when they're talking about, well, we're gonna keep some things the same, but we're going to change some things. You're like, well, what are you going to change? Am I still going to like it? I don't know. I don't like change, right? So I'm just here. You may or may not like the changes, and we'll get to some of that in a second. But what I want to say is what's not going to change. Our understanding of the gospel will not change. That God created us, that we sinned, that he sent his son to restore relationship with us because he loves us and wants relationship with us, that repentance and faith brings us back into relationship with him because of the work accomplished on the cross. That's the gospel. It's in his word, and we will not stop believing it. It will not change at Neighborhood Church. There are some core values at Neighborhood Church. This is a little brochure that's out there on that little board of things. You can look at it on the website. It just has core values. Things like the supremacy of God in all things. We believe God's in charge. Joy in God. That we believe that it's not duty or some sort of belabored reticence to follow God, but that joy in God is the ultimate goal. That following him and understanding that what he wants for us and what's best for us is the same thing, and that we should have joy in it. Biblical truth. We're not going to start, you know what, if there's a great book by a Christian author who, and it goes to the best sellers list, and we're like, oh, we're not going to start teaching that book. We are a people about the word of God here, right? The word of God is inspired, it's infallible, and we will be teaching and preaching from it when you show up here. Even today, we're talking about vision. We're not even teaching a lesson, but you'll find laced throughout this morning, the word of God is in there because we value the word of God. It will be the standard for Neighborhood Church always. That's how we know when we're in the wrong spot or when we say the wrong thing or the right thing, is whether or not it lines up with the word of God. Prayer. We believe that prayer is critical to what we're doing. God wants us to talk with him. He wants us to ask for things. He wants to give us good gifts because he's a good giver of gifts. He's a good father, right? And I can't think of a lot better gifts than our church impacting 1,000 people in our community, or reaching 500 kids, or inviting and enfolding in 100 new families at Neighborhood Church. Those sound like really good gifts to me that I'm happy to ask the Father for. I would ask that you would join me in that. Missions. We have always been about missions here at Neighbor Church. It has been a priority to take the gospel to the unreached people groups of this earth. Not just any sort of thing we call missions. We understand missions to be the lost peoples who don't have the gospel. The gospel is not grounded in their world, and we want to take the gospel out there. Community involvement. We believe that the four walls, or I guess there's really more than four walls around here, but let's call it four walls. The four walls of this church are great. It's a great place. I hope you're encouraged, inspired this morning. But our job does not stop in the four walls. It goes out into the community where we model what it looks like to live in grace, where we model what it looks like to speak truth, to show love. We want to be involved in our community in meaningful ways. Neighborhood Church works in teams. We have an elder team. It's actually kind of more unique in the way that it operates here at Neighborhood Church than it does at a lot of churches. We believe in the power of teams, and that extends. You can see that even in the way we handled this idea of, hey, let's look and make new vision. We have all kinds of teams, and we invited people in because we believe Neighborhood Church is more powerful in teams. Most of the ministries at Neighborhood Church are led by teams, and that's intentional. That's not going to change. Small groups. I bet you had a really lovely conversation when we had 3 minutes to talk with our neighbor, but I'm guessing it wasn't very substantive. It didn't allow you to go super deep. We believe that small group ministry is critical to the health of Christian life. We believe that you need to know others and be known by others, that you need to have substantive interactions. You need to be able to ask questions about spiritual things and read the word of God together, hold each other accountable, encourage one another, challenge one another. We believe that that happens in the context of various small group communities around Neighborhood Church. Well, that won't change. We're still going to be about that. We believe in strong families. We believe in equipping people for ministry. It's not just a show where the elders are up here, the paid staff, that they're the ones doing ministry. We believe in equipping the church to use their gifts to build up the body of Christ. That's what the word of God says, and that's what we're about.
We believe in excellence in ministry. If it's worth doing something, let's do it well. Let's work as unto the Lord. It will be an act of worship, and so we want to do things well. We believe in strategic partnerships, which basically means we're not the only church around, right? We're not the only capital C church. There are a lot of Bible-believing, gospel-dependent churches, and we want to partner with them strategically and opportunities where that's available. And then lastly, we value functional facilities. That means we want the buildings of Neighborhood Church to be useful to the church, to the community, to the people who use it. We want it to be full. It's not a stained glass cathedral for pictures. It's a place where you sing, there are also basketball hoops on the wall. We did not paint them orange anymore, though, for those who were concerned about that. All right. Lastly and quickly on this, we are a God-centered, joy-driven church. We believe that we are not man-centered. We are God-centered. He is what defines what our relationship is, what a truth is. And actually, we're happiest when he is in the center. And we believe in that joy-driven component I spoke about earlier. All right. I'm going to be really quick with this. We can't do this with five guys or six guys. We can't do that. It will take all of us to do this. Actually, it will take more than all of us. It will take all of us operating in a spirit-dependent way, waiting for God to work through us, trusting he will, begging him to, and putting our hands to those bricks and picking up a brick and putting it on the wall. We need partnership. And for partnership, I'm going to ask that Neighborhood Church adopts two attitudes and three actions. I got to get my fingers under control here. Two attitudes, selflessness. We want to be a church that thinks about others first, our brothers and sisters in Christ around us, our neighbors, the lost people around this world. Think about Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He is our example. So when you think that's weird what they're doing with the lights, or that music isn't my favorite, or whatever it might be, I want you to just like pop in Philippians 2. God came to earth, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, humbled himself, poured himself out so that we might have relationship with God. I'm guessing whatever uncomfort, discomfort might be created in you, it could be less than that. Second attitude to adopt, patience and understanding. Turns out, newsflash, we asked our wives and we're not perfect. They assured us it was fact. We're not going to get everything right. We're going to aim for something good, something great even, and we're not always going to get it right. We're going to try something, and like my wife, who sometimes knows about 10 minutes before I know that it's a bad idea, there may be bad ideas sometimes, but we're going to try some. Give us a little grace to try new things to see what could work better. Be patient. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 frames the definition of love by patience. All right, three actions. This is what I need you to do. I need you to pray. I don't mean one perfunctory prayer. I mean, if we're going to achieve what we have set out, what God has given us a vision to, we need to become a people who are continually calling on God to move. Pray. Pray often. Pray hard. Inside your bulletin is a list of some things we've been talking about today with some questions to inspire some conversation, get you involved in the process. On the back side of that is prayer suggestions under each point. So if you're like, I wouldn't know how to pray, now you do. Serve. As I mentioned before, it's not going to happen unless we all do it. Each one of us needs to pick up a brick. We need to figure out how God has gifted us and use those gifts to build up the body of Christ. It will take every one of us being involved. Figure out how God has called you to be involved. Stretch yourselves. Do something out of that comfort zone. Lastly, encourage. Encouragement is the most affordable gift. It costs you nothing to encourage somebody, and I have seen the power of encouragement at work in people's lives. It's amazing what it can produce. Encourage, affirm what you see going on around that's good. Yeah, maybe you see a couple of things you don't like. Find the good things, encourage them, celebrate them. Let's create a culture around here where we put wind into the sails of the good that God is doing. All right? Let's sing together.